down to the right and beginning to visit George Mitchell this Tuesday around 6 o'clock, the 29th of January of 74. Beginning channel 2 right, channel 2 right, beginning of the visit with George Mitchell just before supper. He's standing at the door, kitchen door, this Tuesday the 29th of January, 74.
Come on,
just step
in here in the kitchen.
So you've been out in the
How was
it? Yeah.
Sort of tired.
Feel. Makes a difference, don't it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I just gonna tell you you're gonna have some cabbage.
That's good to see.
It can't be. It
showed up. Can't now. I see the same thing happening. I did walk through the kitchen in the house there just a while ago, and I see them doing the same thing, huh?
Yeah.
So that made me feel good. Yeah.
There's a lot of difference in cabbage, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you can just cut it right out of the garden.
That's true. That price will hurt you so bad.
That price, I don't hurt you right
now. Not at all.
Yeah. 10 acres, not enough for you to fool with.
Oh yeah, I'm glad to get that way.
Well, this is right here handy. You know the fella. He's right down here. You know where Toby Smith used to live?
Yes.
Right down there. What's that fella's name? Between here and that orange hill, that shell.
That right over there on the
yeah.
Over on the left side of the road there, that's Mr. Mr. Hullone, son. Is it over on that side?
Well, it's over there. Oh, that saddle shop.
That's right. I guess that's what we do back down there. But I think that's Mr. Hullone's son, isn't it? Isn't he some relation to Mr. Hullone them and making up there?
I
had heard that. I never ever got a chance to meet him, you know.
Oh, you never seen him?
I never met him, if I can remember, but I just know he got a fine place over there. That's right. I see it from the roadside.
He made me a half a dozen bells.
That's real nice.
Yeah.
Real good.
Hey, you know, fellas thinks, well, that's luxury to have half dozen belts.
Right,
but
that,
you know,
that is true.
That way you don't have to change, every time you change britches, you don't have to change
the
belt.
That's true. That's right. Ain't no better thing, you know. That's true. Yeah. But I'll go to see him. I appreciate that, Mr. Miles.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I was down there. Down there to see him a minute, and he's standing out there, and I looked out there in that field. He was out there working on that sort of putting a little drain pipe there in that little two-car garage.
That's right.
And I looked out there. I said, "Are you cultivating the field?" It looked to me like it's something but scrapes or something. No, he said he hadn't. But he said he'd like to.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I said, you're planted. You ought to get something going out there. Well, he said it was strong in Bahia, and he'd have to get somebody to put some melons in there. And then after that, he could put some, well, I don't know what he was going to put. What he was saying.
That's right.
And, of course, you know the land there.
Yeah, it's good land. Mr. Riggerson and Mr. Farm that whole cut years ago. They used to make eggplants all through that cold cut back in there.
Oh, really?
That's right. It's good land. No joke about that. And it's rested land. Yeah, it sure ain't been rested land. Ain't no joke about that.
No.
That's the truth. Yes, sir. That ain't the one. That land. Just need something to be growing on.
That's right. Sure. There's a whole lot of land like that. I don't know just what I'm going to do with these pastures, George. The reason I just kind of holding out a little bit. And I got such a good stand of a hairdresser.
Yeah, I understand that.
Now,
that's the true one.
I don't
blame it a bit in the world, because
you might
feel like going back in the child business, and although that quite naturally let you ill for it's done with you, man. Because you ain't got none. That don't fail a thing in the world, you know, between now and full summertime, because you don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
That's true.
Now, any of it, you see, you can cut it in the wintertime, fall, clear on up into the growing season.
That's true.
And it does good.
Oh, yeah.
You can just keep on cutting it.
That's right.
But if you cut it in the growing season, and keep cutting it, you know. Now, what are you going to use for, what are you going to break it with?
Mr. William there, Mr. Ted, on up.
You get them to do it for you?
Yes, sir. I get them to get me on outside on the hood. So they got stuff that I got to do it for me. It's fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can do it for you.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, much faster than I can do it.
Yeah.
You got all them plows on that thing. Now, that thing has a big whoop.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, now, what do you need? What sort of cultivating do they need? What do you need?
The main thing after you get it cut up,
yeah.
You get it laid up. Well, you don't need anything. All the new dead for being up. Well, we lay it off. Well, you lay it off with a great big scooter, you know.
Sure.
Well, the truck come right down and put the foot light in it, and then you take that little bush. You got a 3-4-palm bush. Put your bed up.
Yeah.
Just run. Get right straddle that rope.
Yeah.
And then just throw it up on the bed.
Yeah.
And then you come right on behind that with the plan and go ahead on the plan.
And you need that bed.
You got to have that bed. That's for true. You got to have that bed.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, now, I watched Coleman bed up some of those sweet potatoes. And he got a narrow roll. See, he got a robot like this. It's not a wide roll.
That's right.
And he pushes that up, and it's almost like this.
That's
the way he puts them sweet potatoes.
That's right. That's true. Right. Yeah. He do. He got what you call back there with him when he was flying. What you call that, a champion plow?
Yeah.
Well, it's got a wing on it, and it just throws the dirt as a new walk. Along with it, just throw it. And you come, go down on one side and come back on the other, and that you be it right up there.
Yeah.
Right. We had one of them too. Well, I mean, I knew one. I knew that multiple times when I knew that. Stuff is so small, the stuff, for me, and I'm scared I'm going to cover up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Then I get hit and blow off stuff with the mule. And so you can just take the wing off of here, and then that don't throw no dirt at all. All you do then, you can get as close as you wanted there with that mule walking along. You're blowing the stuff off there, and you just leave it on just in a little tree.
Yeah,
right. It's not no fast going now with that mule doing it, but you can do a number one good job, and you ain't gonna cook up nothing.
Yeah.
But when you're blowing off stuff with a tractor, well, you got to up and down more or less all the time, because sometimes you're going to hit a place where it's rough. Well, it's going to cover up somewhere. You got to get out and uncover it. You ain't got no trouble with that mule now. That mule just walking right along that sturdy.
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing to do but just hold that plow right, and it's going. You ain't really got to worry about it stopping. I like that mule for that part.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I like it too when the stuff get up bigger, you know, up large, you know, well, them tractors will tear up stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you can keep plowing with that mule.
Yeah, I'd think you'd have a little cultivating tractor. So you can do about anything you want to do with a cultivating tractor.
Right.
And you don't need too much equipment for it.
Oh, no, you don't need too much equipment. That's the truth. No, sir, you don't need much.
But you don't run across them and anybody want to get rid of them.
No, nuh-uh. That's the truth. You don't do that either day. That's true.
Yeah, there used to be plenty of them.
Yeah. You don't do that no more. You'll find one. When you just nigh in again, you can find that stuff now.
You know, one time when I first come down here, I made a big circuit. I went up to Live Oak, Madison, came back, and got all the way to Tallahassee. And I stopped at all them, every place they sold tractors and implements. I stopped. And, you know, you find all sorts of things. Especially if you know about them. You
right, see. That's the truth.
You
that's
need true. To know a little more about them than they do.
Right.
Of course, always help.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But I didn't. I had to take their word like that.
Sure. Yes, sir. Well, I got a good friend now. I mean, I can put my thing on him. Anything that in the part that I need from any part that he got the wig with, well, I can use it. So that's where I stand in good shape for that. That's good. You probably know him. You know him good. You ought to know him because he got this land over here. He over there working now, so my daughter just told me now, you know Mr. Bob Baker down there. He got some more than that all kind of equipment to work with.
Well, he down there, he could pick you up at one of them little tractors, George. I've seen him sitting out there in front of his place. And then you see you are in the business and you see you could doing it for me would be one thing, doing it for you would be another.
That's right.
But you all can play it back and forth.
That's true.
Then he want to borrow it from you sometime, he can come get it.
That's right. Well, that's the way me and him work, you know, something. All I do is furnish my own gas and oil and all of that. But I use all of his stuff, no charges. I have to reach and get him all the time. And no choices whatsoever, nothing, but I just furnish my own stuff anytime I need.
Well, how'd you get acquainted with him?
Well, I've been knowing him for years.
Oh, you have?
For years, yes. And then I take care of his crop too every year.
Yeah.
Right.
You have him out on some of his stuff.
Right. I get my crew and I go in there and I keep a little crop going.
Oh, I see. Clean it out.
Clean it out for him. Pick stuff for him. Pick squash.
Did you pick any stuff over here last year?
I didn't pick anything over here last year. I had him to hold some squash out there for him.
Yeah.
That's right. When you had those butternut squash over
there.
I had my crew hoeing squash over
there. Was you over there?
I was over there a while. But I was over on my phone, but I had somebody else to be out there. I got to carry on with my crew now.
Yeah.
And I planted a good lot of them peas what you see out there. I planted a lot of them out there.
Oh, did you?
That's right. Yeah. We swap around.
Well,
I stand good.
I'm going to tell you, in case you do that, we can work this little 5 acres in where on something, you see,
yeah,
where he'll have his equipment up
there. Oh, yeah.
It's that taking it back and forth that's troublesome.
But it's no trouble.
You got that big truck, you could pull a nice trailer.
It's no trouble at all to get it back or to follow.
And not?
No, not a bit in the world.
How come?
Because if not, I just get up on it and drive it. We drive it everywhere we go.
Just drive it.
Drive it right on to the one field to the other.
Well, it'll take you right smart a while to go from down there where he is up to here.
No, I don't either.
Take you an hour.
No, I don't. No, it won't. It sure won't. Take 15 minutes. I timed it. Done tried it. 15 minutes from down there, the end of these fields up here.
Is that right? You must have a hidden gear on that.
It's got a fast gear.
Is it?
That's right. It got gear like cars now. they're run 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, will they?
And some of them do more than that.
Well, I never have been faster than 15.
Yeah, oh man. Oh, great God, man. I'm saying, ooh, some of them things, man, do 30 miles an hour. That's right.
Yeah.
Show you?
And those elevators
won't. Well, some of them little ones will.
Will they?
Yeah, that's right. You see them little bitty ones. Them little old Fords, you see them little old Fords, they call them little old Fords. That thing got, it's got a six gear, what you call a six and seven gear in it. And when you put it in either one of them,
oh, I see.
It moves on out.
Well, I think them little Farmo, whatever you call them, cultivating tractors, they got a gear too?
That's right. They got a gear just for running, just for the road, what you call a road gear.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't use that nowhere but just on the road now.
Yeah.
It won't do no pulling for out there, but it's just for running. Yeah.
Just get out of here and run and just bounce.
Oh, it ain't gonna pull nothing out there. It's just for on the highway for good land.
Yeah,
that's right.
But that burn, that's nice.
Yes, sir. They really got it. That's when you see people can travel so fast and move around. Yeah. That's what we do. We just like drive from one field to another.
Well, where does old Jake Brown get his equipment?
Freddie let him have some equipment. He go around and borrow other people's stuff when he need it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's one thing about it. Everybody know one another and everybody nice. If they got anything, they'll let you use it.
Yeah. I seen him up at on that hill there where Mr. Rogers lives.
Yes, sir.
Does he help him, right, Smart?
That's right. Him and Mr. Rogers forming together.
Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
Now, he's got water. He got irrigation up there, hasn't he?
They have been trying to do a little watering, but they ain't been doing no big thing with it.
That's right.
No.
They don't have no water?
No. They've been running little what you call these little sort of like yard sprinkles, you know, using that sort of.
Oh.
That's right.
Well, he's
going
to I wish there was some water over there close by.
That's right.
You know, it's sort of discouraging these days to try to get along without water.
Right, it is.
Now, one advantage down here, you see, if it rains at all, there'll be a few pools of water down here, you see.
That's
but
true.
The ground's not as good.
Yes, sir. That's right. Well, I tell you what, we'll decide to put some sweet potatoes up there now.
All right.
I'll go to work and go to getting ready fast. I'll try to grow up some sweet potato sets fast, Mr. Brown. And I sure appreciate that. And I'm going now and talk with the man now.
Okay, you go talk with him.
I'm sure you. Sure
talk with him before anybody gets to him.
That's what I ain't gonna stop. That's when I come right on to him. My boy told me that. I jumped right back in my truck and kept getting on up to you.
Good.
So now I'm going on to him, yeah. All right, appreciate everything, and I'll see you later.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Now, this is the end of that short talk with George Mitchell at the kitchen door, Tuesday, the 29th, about supper time, Tuesday the 29th of January 74. channel to right, around, I don't know, maybe 300 or 400 or less. That's the end of the talk with George Mitchell this Tuesday, about supper time, the 29th of January, 74.
But $2.20, and all it was just a little video light, and it won't last any time. So why? And I'm not using that, so I thought, well, I'll just bring that up here.
Whew. He doesn't tell you today.
Sometimes I get tired up here before I do anything. I guess I just don't like it up here. Something had enough of it.
Yeah, that's the way I am on this job now. I just don't like it anymore, and I feel tired before I begin.
Yeah.
That poor old girl didn't show up today to give me the waters. I guess you're wise to me. That's the best way, put them in their place quick. They say she's hell on wheels once she gets after her, you
know. Yeah.
Yeah, I broke her hell down a bit.
Where are you?
Damn it, yesterday I went over and gave them like 2 weeks' notice. I was going to stay till the 5th of March, but they put a woman boss over here. And I ain't ever taken orders off a woman, I go down. That ain't something.
You mean, you want a little light?
Huh?
You want a little light?
I don't care, it's all the same to me.
That's a lot of light, eh?
Yeah, beauty.
A woman boss over here?
Yeah, it's in this area of the press here, and black culture, and down the line. So when she came, and I took a look at her, and she started to tell me something. I said, well, I want to tell you something before you start, and put in for my time. I thought I'd beat her to the whip, so she didn't give me no orders. She said, you really mean that? I said, yeah, I just want to quit. That's it, right now. Oh, man.
And I never thought I'd live to see this.
I got a kick out. I said, I'm going to retire anyway, so I just want to get out of here. She said, well, what's the matter? I said, I just got sick of this goddamn job. The poor thing.
Nothing personal.
Hell no, nothing
just
personal.
Just sick of the job.
Well, that's enough sick of anybody. All my life I've never had a woman yet. This is my boss. My wife don't do that. I get a kick out of it.
Your wife don't line out what you're going to do.
Hell no.
This
amen.
God almighty.
This goddamn place has gone crazy. Phew.
Well, you see, the old trouble is you've been here too long. You know too much about it.
Yeah. Well, I've been there about 6 times.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Well, I started from the top and worked down. I started in the heating plant. Years back, but about 20 years ago. 20 odd years back. And I started there and stayed there 3.5 years. Whew. Then I Went from there, went to a job in Tampa for a while when they were building the annex on that Martin Plant Hospital, worked in that outfit for a while. Then I come back and went to work at the university. And I stayed about 3.5 years the next time.
Oh, you have been in and out.
Yeah, then I went off on another job.
What was you on then?
I went, they were building all these buildings around town.
Oh, yeah.
Went back on them. Then I come back again, went to work for the hothouse, Monroe Hedick.
Oh, oh.
I stayed with him 6 odd years. Then I, when they started to build all them engineering buildings up there and everything, I quit there and went up there and went to work for that up there.
Oh.
Oh, man, I've been around. Then I come back again, worked on the plant and grounds around the shrubbery and everything. And
you got a match?
No, I go wait until I get out of here.
Don't bother me unless it bothers you.
No, don't bother me, but I hate to smoke when somebody else ain't. So I quit again, went when they was building all them houses there, the low rental houses, man. Anybody wants to live in one of them can have it. I build them, I know. Jesus, they're slapped up like an egg tray. They look so cute, too, from the outside.
They got enough, they're new, and they got fresh paint.
They're good for, if they last 15 or 20 years without creeping in, I don't know what's going to hold them up. The goddamn roof is a quarter inch plywood.
Quarter inch?
Quarter inch plywood. I never seen nothing like it in my life. I know that's what they put down there where all them jigs are.
And no decking, just on the 2x6 rafters.
Yeah, that's all it was. And they went, well, you know how it is when they knocked them down with staples and things. Jesus Christ, that was pitiful.
Oh, you mean just go along with a gun?
Yeah. They had the little nail things, too, they used, nail guns.
I never used one of them.
Yeah.
Do they work pretty good?
I don't know. I never used one myself.
Yeah.
Jesus. Some houses last any time at all without ripping them all down, starting fresh. I don't know what the hell's going to keep them up.
Hmm. Well, you know that's the way a lot of that stuff put up without even seeing it. You know that's the way they do it.
They put up all that siding that they put up there. It's all quarter inch. What the hell you'd call it there?
Already finished.
Yeah, they just gave it a coat of paint and we slapped it up.
Yeah.
God damn it, that ain't something.
Yeah. Well.
That's a real government project.
I'll tell you, since I kept thinking about what you said in the Merchant Marine. Merchant Marine?
Yeah.
I never had any sea duty. The only sea duty I ever had was on a Victory ship.
Victory ship.
Yeah. And we went all over the Atlantic on the way to India.
Yeah.
We went through the Suez Canal then.
Yeah.
And there was one of the Merchant Marine fellas. And they got a lot of fun out of him. They said, and I think it's right, that he got torpedoed and he was floating in the North Sea at coal up there.
Yeah.
For 9 days.
Jesus.
He joked with him about it, you know, and he said the only thing that kept him alive was that he was already pickled in alcohol.
That's about what kept him.
Well, you know, at that time, I didn't have enough sense just to go up there and talk to the fellow. I just stood off and listened to what the others said. So I never knew what actually happened. For one thing, he couldn't stay alive 9 days in the North Sea.
Must have been in a river raft or something. Oh, they'll exist all right if they got them rubber suits on.
Will they?
That you're supposed to dive overboard with in case the ship sinks, but Jesus, I'd be afraid to put one on. My boots might come up first. You don't get all the air out of them, the boots come up.
You can't breathe through your feet.
Nope. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I seen them in practice one time. The guy forgot to push all the air up out of them, and his damn feet come up, and we had to haul them out.
you seen that done?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well.
Then they gave you a little light you were supposed to had one battery in it and a little plastic light. You were supposed to light that to attract attention. Nobody could see the damn thing anyway.
No.
I got the things they went through was crazy. And if you put a light out and the sub was around, they'd pepper you off too.
And the sub would get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the precautions they had, but they didn't amount to nothing. Oh, well.
Well, one thing I noticed, we got pretty well hit going through the Mediterranean. Mm. The Germans hit us, and they had those missiles then.
Yeah.
And they hit one ship right square dab, and it didn't last long. Yeah. And them fellas was off in the water, and they said a lot of them were just scared of death. But they also the water was choppy, and I remember I was right next to it, and I remember something exploded out there. I was looking out a porthole, and it knocked me clear back across the room. I don't know what, but we didn't get hit, but that was bad enough. You see, I still haven't forgot it. But they said that it was choppy, but from up there on deck, I couldn't tell it was choppy. They said it was 3 or 4 or 5 foot
waves.
Waves.
Christ.
But I wouldn't want to be out in that sort of water. Would I?
Hell no. It's mighty rough.
That's mighty rough. Yeah. You could last a little while, but you wouldn't last forever in that predicament.
I was on one ship. We were supposed to go to some place called Horseshoe in Russia there, near bloody Woodstock or some goddamn place. We never got there. We got hit with a torpedo on the bow and had to pull in the Hull England. It didn't even go off.
Oh, it didn't?
No. And the funniest thing happened on that trip, I'll never forget it. This drunk was up on the deck at the time, and he had already fell before that, and his arm was all ripped open, and he was I forget what the hell you do call him now. He was a deck engineer, that was it. They turned around, and the ship was allowed a Purple Heart in case anybody got hurt. Well, they turned around and gave that drunk the Purple Heart. Cited him for the Purple Heart. I never got over that. Jeez, if that wasn't something, this Cal Rusk Medal Award Society in Washington wrote to me and asked me to send in my campaign discharges and things. So they could send me my medals. I wrote back that don't send me a goddamn thing. I've seen too much of them. Oh, that didn't blow me off. Yeah, they took that drunk and gave him a Purple Heart. I didn't see where a merchant man deserved the medals to start with.
Well,
kick out of it.
I don't know. They was out there.
But they were getting well paid, too.
Oh,
they? He sure was. Every time there was an attack, they got 100 and something for it.
Oh, did they?
They got 100% in any waters, mine waters, or any war waters.
Oh, did they?
Damn right. I got it all, I know. I was making plenty.
So that was not medal for you?
That was my medals. That's what I was fighting for, every penny I could make. And then I'd hit the bars, and that'd be the end of that. At least I made as high as 1,800 or more a month.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, you are.
Doubled my pay every time I was in the mine areas and everything. I had a ball. Of course, we went through a lot of shit, but I don't see where anyone should squawk. They got well paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. I had no idea that.
Yeah.
I know, you know, the flyers, once they get off the ground, you see, they get flying time.
Yeah.
And then if they're in a military area, you see, they get
so much percentage.
So much more of that. Oh, I don't know. The military really knows how to rig it up, don't they?
Yeah, all them flyers, they're allowed to get their bonded whiskey too. We used to get this out of bond, but boy, they could get it out a hell of a lot cheaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they're only paying about $16 a case for whiskey.
Well, they were.
We used to pay about $2.20 a bottle for the best brands.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I sure put a lot of it away.
you don't get anything like that anymore.
At the best of grub. Of course, some companies try to put on bad grub, but it never passed by.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there's always somebody from the union check.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, now, this real estate, you really got your wings clipped on that, didn't you?
Yeah. She's that one right through.
20 acres and right over in Jacksonville.
20 acres, yeah. Right on 103rd Street. I bought that up. Oh, every time I'd go up, I'd come in and buy, try to join it. I missed one. So one was split up between me and another guy that was in between me that had 5 acres. Damned if they didn't take the whole thing away from me.
Now, what was that about split up?
Well, I had 5 acres in one spot here,
yeah.
And then in between me was another guy.
I see.
And then I had 15 running down the other way from him.
Oh, yeah.
He was right in the end of my, in between my 15 acres.
So they just...
5 I had on the other side.
Now that was the airport.
Yeah, that was Cecil Field.
That's Cecil
Naval
Field.
Base.
Naval base.
Mm.
Oh, naval. Cecil Field Naval Base.
Yeah, the airport, whatever you want to call it.
Hell, they they got anything they wanted over there, didn't they?
Yeah, sure did. I was buying that space up. Oh, I was going to do a lot when I got off of the ship. They just tripped the whole works.
Oh, you were buying it against the time you got off the ship.
Yeah. Just as everything was all calm, even the Korean War was over, they decided to extend Cecil Field. Phew, the right to take, and they took.
Billy Matthews helped you?
Yeah. Yeah, they was trying to, Christ, they didn't even want me to pay me what I got to put in it. He cut me about 5 odd extra 100 out of it. I think out of that whole mess I got $2,500.
Lord.
And it cost me that, and I was paying the taxes on it all the time, and the taxes wasn't much, only a couple odd dollars an acre, so.
At that time?
Yeah. I was figuring, oh, when I get off the ship, I'm going to do big things. I done all right. After that deal, I got disgusted. I didn't want to own anything anymore.
And you just took that extra $500 and...
I took and spent the whole goddamn works. I even sold the place in Melrose. I said, I ain't gonna own the damn thing no more.
But now you've got a little property now,
yeah,
not much.
Just a little three-room shack.
Just enough for you and your family.
Yeah, that's all I want from now on. I never saved another penny after that. Phew.
Well, now, where are you now?
You know where the tackle box is?
Yeah.
I'm about 3.5 blocks down from there, going towards Hawthorne.
Yeah.
There's a gasoline station on the corner,
yeah.
A new colonial.
Yeah.
And I live right across from it, 17th Street, Southeast 17th.
Oh.
When I first got there, the city had taken all the trees down around that area, and I planted it all up again. Now the trees are damn near as big as they were.
You been out there since the war?
Yeah, about 20 years.
Well, 20 years, that makes 53.
Mm.
I didn't get here till 57.
Yeah, I got here about a little after 54. The Corium War was over, and then they started in this business putting the ships on the foreign flags. They had quite a few as it was, but I got sick of that harsh shit. I just up and quit. Retired from the Union and all.
Yeah.
I wasn't about to save any Honduras or Panamanian flags.
Well, now, what was the point of that?
Well, they could register them cheaper on the Panamanian.
Yes.
And less insurance and all that business.
Oh, I see.
And the ships were in bad shape. They could never register them in an American port.
Oh.
They could take them there and register them. Standard Oil and a lot of them done that to a lot of them old tankers. It wasn't worth crap. Stuck them under the different flags.
Oh, really?
Still ran them, yeah. They didn't give a goddamn for the crew. Sunk or what?
Well, the crew had to look out for themselves.
That was about it. Some of them damn ships were in bad shape.
Yeah.
I got one on one once. They flew me, the Luckenbach Company flew me down to Norfolk to pick up one. That was during the Second World War. I got down there, and I'm always interested in looking in the boilers and things when I'd hit a ship. I looked at that and they were getting ready to go out, and god damn it, I called the Coast Guard down on them.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Got damn tubes in bad shape and everything. They were trying to get away and get them out of port with it. Well, I the ship was being repaired. I lasted 1 month. I got a discharge, and they didn't want me sailing that ship, I'll tell you. I knew I was going to have a bad time with them.
Yeah. Well,
that's one outfit that remembered me. I cost them a lot of money.
What did you say it was?
Hell no.
They didn't want you?
Oh no. And me and the captain right away didn't get along. He was a company man. I told him I don't give a goddamn about looking back or anybody. As I'm looking ahead. I didn't need men to sail on this ship. I said, I sent for the Coast Guard is right. Man, they come down, them boilers, they re-board tubes and every other goddamn thing of them. It cost the Luckenbach so much they never want to see my face again.
Well, I'll be done.
I got a kick out of that. The captain told me, he says, I never want to see your face again. I says, you cheap bastards never will see my face again on one of your ships. I didn't even step on it. They thought I was a real radical.
Well, was you?
Well, I was in a way. What the hell? I wouldn't step aboard a ship unless I went down and looked it over.
Well,
some man go out, crew go out on there, they're lost before they start. You got hit, well, you wouldn't have a chance anyways.
I never heard of anybody going down looking over a ship before he signed on. You see, I'm not in it, but I never heard, I never even heard anyone.
I sure as hell would. I'd look that thing over from all that boiler room and the boilers and all, make damn sure things were safe.
Well, that's
I read that from a kid up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How'd you learn it?
Well, I sailed them ships when I was a kid. All kinds of them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you just... you.
I crawled through so many of them boilers, I know them days, is he? Yeah.
Oh, I
get
see.
Out there and shit a tube
I
drop
see.
Or something and... war zone, you'd be lost.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
I come up the hard way, so I gave it to them the hard way.
Yeah.
They taught me a lot.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I sailed some of them broken down crates. Jesus.
Yeah, and you didn't know any better then.
Yeah, I didn't. I was kind of stupid. And afterwards, I got my third engineer's license, got my second engineer's license, I got my first engineer's license. That's when the Standard Oil, I was blackballed from them once from turning them in on a couple of jobs.
Oh,
so they turned around and told me, well, you're an officer. Will you take, they had these goddamn mogul ships that run the Heine Krupp jobs, and nobody knew them except them. Goofy basses like me that during when I was a kid I'd handle some of them ships. They'd say, we want you to take out this or that, and I'd go down and look that over. If it was in good shape, I'd sail on it. I took out some twin screw Heine Krupp jobs for them. But they didn't like my attitude.
Well?
If I'd have stayed with one company, I'd have got a damn good pension out of it.
Yeah.
I went from ship to ship. I picked where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I'd wait two or three months waiting for one ship to show up that I could get going to a certain place.
Oh, really? What was the benefit of that?
I just wanted to go someplace different.
Oh, I see.
Never wanted to hit the same place too often. Christ, I waited a month and a half for one that I heard was going over to Aarhus, Denmark. I hadn't been there, and I wanted to hit there, and I got it.
Yeah,
I used to do the craziest things.
Well?
That's just determined. I want to see what I wanted to see.
Oh, I see. Well... If you just let nature take its course, you'd been maybe just went between here and Panama.
Yeah, I'd have been shutting them up and down the coast.
Yeah.
And a lot of them Standard Oil stiffs that way, they never got off the coastline, hardly.
Was that right?
Yeah, some of them put 30 years along the coastline. Of course, it benefited them because they sure got a stock in the Standard Oil and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? You can't take it with you.
Well?
I've enjoyed my life, so I got no complaints on my way out.
Well, that's...
Yeah, I waited 2 months for one ship. The name of it was the SS Icon, and she was the head of Korea, and I wanted that run just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
That was when things were red hot there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got her out of Boston.
Yeah.
I stayed, damn near a little over a year. We shuffled around out of Sasebo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made all that big war profit. It never done me any good, but I made it.
Oh, I see.
I hit some of the queerest places, Kashiro, up in the mountains. You could go up in the mountains on the train. Jesus, I don't know how the hell they knocked the Japs out of them caves and things yet. Goddamn old train pulled through a mountain in the caves.
Yeah. And you went up there and saw what it was.
Yeah, I just went for the... see what's going on.
But they did knock them out.
They knocked them out, all right. I don't know how, but boy, they sure got them out of places. I laid in a little spot called Yosu, drawing 100% for 46 days straight in one spot. Then when we went out, we was in the dangerous waters, we got 100%.
Yeah. Good Lord.
I met a fella down there I knew from Swampscott, Mass. Mr. Dodge, and he was the head of the United Nations down there. He says, Jesus, he says, you're one guy that's not afraid to go around at nighttime amongst these people. I says, Christ, they know me.
Yeah.
He says, usually they'll attack you if you got anything on you.
Oh.
I even got in with a family there. They call themselves the Leon Cooks.
Yeah.
Every time I'd hit that port, they'd be waiting for me.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I was
it was
that.
Dangerous for other people, but it was lovely for me.
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened. I know what that means.
Yeah.
Now, you take out there where I live now, a lot of people don't care for me.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of friends too, and I'll tell you what. I had one colored fella. Mm-hmm. He'd been brought up out there. He's about my age. Mm-hmm. He works. And he'd been raising a little crop over there on my place. Mm-hmm. I got a little land out there. And you know, I treat him right. He treats me right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the word gets out.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how the word gets out.
Yeah.
I mean, just one fella and a few hands that he has over there working.
Mm.
And I go all over the place.
Mm.
Well, I didn't understand what you
yeah,
what happened.
It makes friends with certain ones and get along a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
When they were hard up, I could help them out, give them all the warning they needed. And after couple of trips I come back, they was trying to pay me back that warrant. I told them, I don't want that warrant. It didn't mean nothing to me.
The what?
Warrant. That was the exchange down there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to, Christ Almighty, there's about, at that time, it was about 300 warrant to the dollar.
Oh, yeah. So that was in your favor?
Yeah.
Oh, the dollar was really worth something in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they sure kicked it down.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was back over there in the back part of China and Burma, the one thing that gets you anything you wanted was dollars, and those Parker fountain pens. You remember that?
Yeah. Old pack of 25-cent pen.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, that was...
Yeah. Cigarettes was a big deal.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, cigarettes.
Chocolate bars, anything like that.
Chocolate bars, yeah. Anything you get, PX was worthwhile.
Mm.
You know, that's a shame. It's a shame that was good for system.
Yeah.
You see, it's good for us, it's good for them.
Yeah.
You see, they could load up on that stuff and they were safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
That's what they call kind of black market.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me any.
Well, I somehow had have a feeling that that a whole lot of that would still last if it hadn't been for all that big...
Grace, that's a lot of that is still lasting.
Oh,
cigarettes
yeah.
are still worth plenty. All right. It's all about the same, pretty near.
Oh, really? Really?
different parts. I don't want back in this last war, but I said, shit, I've had enough of that business.
Well,
I was too old. And
it'd be nice if you could just go on a
little gentle cruise, get one of them old packet junkets there and down the islands.
Yeah.
Limeys run a lot of them, don't they?
If they had, no, I'm thinking about on one of them cruises like you was on, but they ought to take on a fella who's been around a little bit and have him around just to learn from.
Yeah. Most I learned from was from the bars. And every time I hit that port, I'd be right down. I hit a bar in Cashiro called Duffy's Tavern.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was just after the... Oh, Christ, that was about 51.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was something, I was on the Motor March. I'll never forget that. Duffy's Tavern, that was the first bar I hit, and I won ashore for a week. At a ball.
Well, that's I tell you, that's our last pause. What are you don't have anything to do here.
Mm.
That's for you, don't it?
Yeah.
Well, if you had six boys, you could line it out for them, tell them what to do.
Yeah, I guess the six I'd have, I'd have to feed them rice. Let them all by.
I better get moving.
Okay.
The person will be looking for me.
Well, I feel better already. I this typewriter will kill a fella. See, I sat behind that.
Keys.
Behind that damn typewriter as much as I. So, at least, let me tell you.
I couldn't do that. My eyes are too blind on me.
Boy, you think mine do them?
Yeah, about the same.
Yeah, I can't see.
Functioning man.
Yes. And at least, you see, now you can figure out, at least you've been spared this damn thing. And how I ever got stuck behind a typewriter, I just don't know.
Comes with the job.
I never done it until the last few years.
Right.
And now it seemed like I sat behind a typewriter half the time. And I just soon sort out the window to look at it.
My eyes would be running tears looking at that print.
Well, it ain't, the print don't hurt you. It's not like reading, you know.
Yeah.
I can just sort of take a squint at that and see it and let the typewriter do the work. I just copy stuff, a lot of stuff I do, I just copy it. And it's not hard on the eyes, that sort of thing. It's a whole lot more reading the newspaper.
I've got to get my glasses changed. My eyesight's so bad now I can't see hardly anything. Where do you get to do that? Where you get them? I'll have to make an appointment with some optician somewhere. Well, cost me about a hundred bucks, I reckon. Oh yeah, everything I think now costs a hundred bucks. Yeah, without even thinking about it. Yeah.
Time you get your glasses as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to pick up some of this now. I'll see you next trip with life.
Okay. For $2.20. And all it was just a little bitty old light pot, and it won't last any time, so why? And I'm not using that, so I thought, well, I'll just bring that up here.
Yeah. He's on tired today.
Sometimes I get tired up here before I do anything. I guess I don't like it up here. Something had enough of it.
Yeah, that's the way I am on this job now. I just don't like it anymore, and I feel tired before I begin.
Yeah.
That poor old girl didn't show up today to give me no orders.
I guess you're wise to me. That's the best way, put them in their place quick. They say she's hell on wheels when she gets after her, you
know. Yeah.
Yeah, I broke her hell down a bit.
Well, she couldn't have been around too long.
They shifted her on from night. She was a number two supervisor on nights, and they switched her on days.
Yeah.
I got a habit of doing that.
Yeah. Whew. Well, you know, I don't know. I got a bad idea, bad impression of the supervisors. They had more trouble. They have more trouble themselves. I wouldn't want to be a supervisor.
I was one. They broke me back. I didn't give a shit. The last 8 or 9 months I had to go, and then they had to break me back. Boom. I get a kick out of it. Because I wouldn't go on nights. I says, I've been on days since I've been here, and I'm not about to go on nights. Then they try to shove four different supervisors on me to ride me. I tell them, you bastards are going to weigh yourself out because I just don't give a shit. They got wise too.
Well, they don't want to have any trouble, you know.
Yeah, not with me anyhow.
But I imagine they get plenty.
Yeah, they were. That bastard over there was riding because I sassed the hell out of him. The big shot Morris.
Oh, yeah.
Old Morris.
Yeah.
He just don't like me at all. It's a mutual agreement. I don't like him either.
Well, I don't know. You know what? If I was starting over, I'd get a job and keep my mouth shut.
Mm.
But here's the thing. I have tried that, and I do for a while.
Yeah.
But the first thing you know, I'm popping off.
Yeah, if somebody gives you a line of baloney, you can't take it.
That's right. That's the trouble.
Man, they had before he come here now, this Mr. Bass, he'd been here for years. And why that jerk got the job over Bass, I can't understand it.
Yeah.
He comes from Wisconsin somewhere. I couldn't understand him getting put on over Bass after Bass working. Bass just quit himself over the last few months ago.
Yeah.
He went over with George Freeman in the agriculture.
Uh-huh.
After working on that janitorial job. He must have been damn near 20 years on it.
Oh, really?
Shows you how the university treats you.
Yeah.
Work the hell out of yourself to get someplace and then knock you back.
And he went over into George Freeman, that's in Hague.
Yeah, in over on the other side of the campus there.
Yeah.
Yeah, an agriculture operation. Him and Freeman will get along good because Freeman's a good old sport.
Is he?
Yep.
He can't leave you alone?
Oh, yeah. If you work for him, you don't have no trouble long as you just do your work.
Is that what they say?
Hmm? Yeah, I've known him for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he used to be an aviator. He was a major in the Second World War. He really likes to have a ball.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. You know, I used to go in there and talk to him about one thing or another, and I didn't know a thing about him.
Man, he's a sport.
He's a sport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, come on, let's go and get coffee.
But you know, he's a Sunday school man now.
Yes.
Yeah.
He must have changed his ways.
He must have had a change somewhere along the line, wasn't
he? Yeah. You know, one time, Shula, the chief of police.
Yeah.
And this.
I know him just over the desk.
Yeah. And Gene Watson, the investigator.
Yeah. They caught George stealing some flowers off of Monroe's truck. Monroe would have gave them to him anyways. But in them days, they used to have a ball over there. They grabbed a hold of George Freeman and handcuffed him to the truck. And then got a camera and took pictures of him. Sometimes you see him mention that, he'll say, them goddamn fools, how am I going to get them pictures back? It's goddamn me crazy.
They caught him with a gun.
Yeah. You know, they were fooling too. They just handcuffed him to the truck and took pictures. Robber.
And no chance of him getting them pictures back.
They did it out of meanness, too.
Yeah.
They were all friends.
Well, now, let me tell you, that must have been some time ago.
Yeah, Trace, that was about, let me think, it must have been about 12, 14 years ago.
Yes, because I haven't heard of any horseplay in a long time. Have you?
No, not lately.
Not lately.
We used to have a lot of fun. This place is going sour.
Yeah. Well, now you see, I got here in 57.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still pretty fair.
Yeah, I got here in 54. Mm-hmm. That's when Mr. Lake said there was no coffee breaks. I told him I went to work in the heating plant then. And Mr. Murray told me the same thing. I told her, I'm sorry, well, I'm here, I'm going to have coffee. And I bought a coffee pot and put it in that heating plant. I asked him, what's the reason for that? He said, well, Mr. Green don't like us having coffee on watch. I said, I've had coffee on ships all my life, and I ain't about to break down now. So one day old Green come in the plant, and I asked him, I said, would you like a cup of coffee? He said, sure would, George. So I made up some coffee. And old Murray come in and looked at me. I said, that's all that old bastard needed, somebody to break him in too. From then on, there was no more word about the coffee pot. And then I got out of there and quit, went to Tampa, come back and went to work again. And Lake, I was planting catalpa trees there in back of the medical center. I guess they're still there, I don't know. No, Lake come down and we said stop to 10 o'clock for coffee break. He started to raise hell. I told him, look, your office house has coffee. And I said, as long as I work on any job here, I'll take my 15-minute break for coffee too, no matter where I am. So he went down to a Monroe edict to fire me, and Monroe said, oh, I'm going to go fire George. Oh, man.
Well, they must know you around here.
Oh, yeah, I've been the character. I've had a fight with them, all the big shots. This, you know, Christ, if you take their bullshit, you'll never get no place.
Well,
I found that out years ago.
You can't just go around saying yes, sir.
No, that's out. Yeah. Now, Lake, the bastards all appreciate me. Now, hi, George. They all know me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that old fox they got there for electrician. Like, what the hell is his name? All his brothers owns all this, the Hope Company electricians. He's one of them in the family that works here. I don't understand that. But he's been here for years. And they're trying to get him off the job. So his idea was, he says, them bastards have haunted me for 25 years. I'm going to stay on the job and let them try to fire me. You see him walking around.
Yeah.
He's 66 and he won't quit.
And he belongs in this electrical family here.
Yeah.
But he works out here. He
works out here. All the Callis, Hope, and all of them, they're all big shot electricians.
Yeah.
I think I should have got that door for him.
I didn't do it yourself.
poor bastard might drop his load. He's a pretty good old skate.
Is he?
Yeah. He never says a word, yo. I got to wipe his ashtray out. I guess he wasn't used to that, and I'd leave him a package of matches when it was empty. He said, thank you. He don't say much.
Well, that's what I thought. I never
hear
him say anything.
No, he never says a word, but bow his head to you or something.
Yeah.
His mind, I guess, is always working on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He comes from back up the country there somewhere. I don't know just where. See, I haven't talked to him enough. I don't even know where he comes from.
We have very few words, but he seems all right. Every time you see him, he's studying something. Phew, I'm glad I ain't got 2 minutes much in my head but rocks. Don't worry too much.
No, I tell you, I got here in 57, and what I figured after I got here was several of my friends got on here right after the war, around 48. And they had it good.
Mm.
They got in at the right time. And I don't know, hit it off. And I never did hit it off yet. Seemed like somebody always had it in for me. They're all in places.
Monroe Edict, the one that runs the hot house, boy, I got along with him. I worked for him twice. I worked 6 years once for him, and then another time I just worked about a year or so. I used to get mad at Lake when they gave me a lousy nickel raise once I quit. Nice upraise. Jesus. That was a way back about 12 years ago. I told him, take that nickel and shove it up your ass. You need it more than I do.
Yeah.
Well, he used to say to me, George, that guy's going to get on you somehow someday.
You mean he just rubbing it in? Oh,
yeah.
Do he get the nickel raise?
Nickel raise. Take it and shove it up his ass. I quit and went up to work on the building, them buildings there.
Well, that's one thing about it. There's been enough going on around in here that if you couldn't stand it over here, you could just.
Yeah, shift around. I'd make more money on the construction jobs, but it was wearing me down. This last time, I knew damn well I couldn't hit construction again.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd put the last of it out here, and I did.
Yeah.
This is the last of it.
Now, you mean, really, you knocking off?
Yeah. Going to retire. I might do an odd job here and there, a day or so a week, and that's about all. Yeah.
And your Social Security is up to welfare.
Up to welfare. I get the regular. I'm going to put in another protest. I'm going to keep doing that until they either raise me or something. Because there's something wrong there. I figured I should have got over way over $200. $182 or something radically wrong there.
Well, it could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't give a goddamn about them computers. I'm a hard man to convince.
Yeah.
It's Christ, when you figure all the years I've worked, I've got in at least 138 quarters there, because I never loafed much. Might have taken a couple of few odd vacations. I worked on this job 3 years straight until before I took a day off. When that bastard come in here and started telling people they couldn't have to get a doctor's slip ahead of time to take a sick leave off even. I said, I'll break that. So I started to take sick off and on. I just had a few amoebas. And then he told a couple of them, they take 1 day off, they take 5 in a row if they got time coming. I'd take one day off. I never heard anything about it. I just go find out what he was. He tried to pull it on them, but he didn't pull it on me.
Yeah.
Well, them jigs, I guess he has them half scared.
Oh, I see.
I guess I'm just mean.
Well.
Yeah. I'm really going to write a letter to the governor about him, because Christ almighty, he's ruined this damn Janet. He's got rid of over 200 and some odd people, and nobody's been replaced. Now, figure that out, I can't, but somebody told me 204 has been fired from here. Now people, he pulls them off of one job, throws them on another job. They stopped doing it to me because I just wouldn't do a damn thing hardly. I told them I ain't going to get me a nervous wreck on account of a nut. That's about what he is, a nut. You can't use a human being that way these days and get away with it.
He not your boss?
Yeah.
How far up is he?
Paul Morris?
Oh,
he's
way on up there.
He's the head of the whole janitorial operation. Green is his boss.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And I had a fight with Green when I first worked in the damn heating plant.
Yeah.
There was a guy there lived in Micanopy. I guess the guy was about my age, pretty near, maybe a year older at that time. I think he's well retired now. And I asked him why this fellow, we was making good money at that time, $5,000-$6,000 or more. That was 20 damn years ago.
Yeah.
I asked him why the Spear wasn't making the same money we was making. He says, "Don't you realize, George, that man's illiterate?" Now, I can't see that through my head. I says, "He's doing the same work we are, but he's illiterate."
And they was cutting him
off? Yeah. They gave him a raise afterwards, and Green always hated me after that. I told him, I says, "I'm goddamned if that's right." Says, "There's nothing right there about him."
Old Spears.
Yeah. He lives out in Micanopy. I think he's retired now.
You know what he's doing? Mm-hmm. He's working the boiler works over there for a long time, wasn't it? At steam.
Yeah, they shifted him from that number one over to there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
And all the time he was doing that, he had a star route. Huh. You know, from Micanopy over to Little Evanston, where the train was. He'd take mail to the train and pick up mail from the train over to Micanopy.
Huh.
In fact, the same one.
That must be him.
And you know what he's doing now? He retired, and then he got a job down here at the Ford place or the American Motors or someplace.
Huh.
And he works 6 days a week.
Christ. And he's doing all right.
I see him going around Micanopy every now and then, barefooted.
I guess that's Spear, all right. They never took the country boy out of him. But I got a kick out of old Green saying the man was illiterate.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, you know, I never thought about him being illiterate.
I found out he can read, and it has a little problem there. It might spell something wrong or something, but what the hell?
Yeah.
Christ, the professor can do that. At times.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I'd find out when he checked the meters and things, maybe there'd be some little mistake and I'd cover it up. Because you could do that in the time you had there. If I followed on his shift or something, anybody could have covered them. Whew.
Hell, old Spears is pretty, he's pretty sharp himself, I'd say.
Stupid as the old Green thought he was.
I never thought about him being illiterate or anything at all. He's pretty sharp. He ought, He gets to jump. He gets to jump on you if you don't watch out, don't he?
I reckon he would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, geez, I better go over and get my coffee. It must be getting close to that time.
Well, we just rigged this up. We won't have to go.
I'll go home and sit down and look around the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I got to catch the bus at 3 o'clock.
Just to change the scene helps a little bit.
Oh, yeah, to get out of these buildings helps.
Yeah. Mm. I'll bet there's one fella you never knew. And he was, do you know anything about Murphy, over there in Murphy Hall? Them buildings, that section over there they call Murphy?
No, I knew a nigga janitor, a big fat one there once. All he used to do was sneak around and sleep. Every time I was working with Mott there on the plant and grounds. Police are here. Somebody's going to get it.
Are they out there?
Yeah, make sure you don't tag your car.
Yeah. Oh, I guess he's going over the first week of the
let me tell you about this fella. Now, this fella come back, he was an old timer. He died a couple of years ago.
Mm.
He retired. And he was right over that Murphy compound, a basement.
Yeah.
He had a long, lanky fella.
Mm.
And he's mean. You know, he didn't take no sass. But you would never would know that if you didn't cross him.
Yeah. What is it, colored guy?
Oh, no. No, he's an old sawmill man.
Mm.
He sawed up the last stand of big cypress in this country.
Christ.
That was back after in the 30s, about the time of the war.
Mm.
And how he got in up here, I don't know, but he did. And he, you see, he was used to big money, handling big sums, you see. He'd buy a stand of timber, and, you know, that involved money. And have a crew of, they have working for it. Patterson, I believe, was his name. Patterson.
I don't think I know him. The name's familiar.
Well, Patterson. Did you know that little fella that used to have an office in here? Now, he dealt a lot. He was in the housing section.
I don't believe I did.
He's the one that goes around in them braces. He had something or other when he was young. His name is Carl Opp. You hadn't run into him.
No.
Well, he dealt with all these fellas off and on, and knew him. Old Patterson, he was a good egg. He could do anything, you see. He wouldn't let on. You'd think he was as ignorant as they come, you see.
Well, it pays to be sometimes.
Just to talk to him, you'd think he's perfectly ignorant, and he wouldn't let on that he could farm or measure a door or drive a nail.
Oh, yeah.
But he could do it.
You got the tank?
Yeah. But he could do just about any of it.
If I missed that bus ride, I'd have a hell of a job getting over there.
3:15.
Ooh, I gotta go. Well, I don't know. I might see you in 4 months again, so good luck. Oh, no, I won't. I'll be gone.
You mean you ain't coming back Monday?
Oh, I'll be back, and not this Monday. I'm going to the hospital for a checkup on Monday.
Yeah.
But I'll be back Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I very seldom see you anyhow.
Well, you see, I don't stay up here much.
Yeah.
I
if I don't see you, I'll run into you someplace.
All right.
Good luck
all
to
right.
you.
All right. You come out there and make an opening. I live close to around out there.
I don't go out there once in a great while.
You fish right smart?
Huh?
You fish right smart? You fish?
Yeah, I fish a lot.
I don't have any place to fish. You ever fish out there at Iron Lake in a place like that?
I have a couple of times. But yeah. Usually I either go down the Keys or I go Newman's Lake or one of them places.
Yeah.
Off of War War.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Well,
once in a great while I get fooling around with the Canopy out there.
Yeah.
Go out and have a beer on the snake pit out there once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to beat it over. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.